Hello? Anybody out there? Auto warranty renewals right from your WordPress site. My God, the Dukes are going to corner the entire frozen orange juice market. These stories and much more on today's episode of MSP Dispatch.
Today's episode of MSP Dispatch is brought to you by CyberDrain's Capture the Flag. Is CTF oriented at system administrators and engineers instead of cybersecurity experts. This event is designed to test the skills of everyone in the MSP space so that they can show off what they can do. Beginning February 14th, 2023, with no cost to enter, anyone anywhere in the world is welcome to join up to 1,000 players. And to get an idea of the amazing prizes up for grabs, take a look at last year's awards, including a streamer starter pack, a PS5, a Nintendo Switch, and thousands of dollars in Amazon gift cards. Plus more. Be sure to visit ctf.cyberdrain.com to register today.
Good morning and welcome to the January 27th episode of MSP Dispatch, your source for news, community events, and commentary in the MSP channel. I'm Murray Orsini, joined as always by my co-host, Mr. Tony Francisco. How you doing, Tony?
Good, brother, good. I'm in the yellow, eyebrows on fleek, here with my boy. Talk to me.
Oh, I'm feeling especially special because I have... I just had some custom shirts and suits ordered, and they just finally came in.
Do tell.
It's like 12 weeks to come in, but they just came in today, and I'm so excited. So excited. So you know what I'm not excited about, though? Scientists, this story, and I apologize, because I feel like every time we cover one of these stories, we're getting closer and closer to Skynet. Scientists create shape-shifting humanoid robot that can liquefy and reform. That is the article that, and this is a banter topic proposed by our own media editor, Phil Buck. I bring this up because it's terrifying, because this is the T-1000. Is it not? Am I?
This is not close to Skynet. This is Skynet. What channel are you on? This is close to Skynet. I can literally show you a T2 movie that has that exact scene. With people chasing him right through the bars.
It's ridiculous because, like, it feels like we skipped the wars, we skipped the sentience, we went straight, and we skipped the original Terminator and went straight to the T-1000. Like, how ridiculous is that?
Why are we building this stuff? Has anyone seen these movies before?
No, so I'll give you a little piece of information. Robert Patrick, the actor that played the T-1000. So he, to train for the role prior to the movie, he trained running without taking big breaths and breathing through his nose. So that, because a robot doesn't breathe through their mouth, right? They don't breathe to run. So he learned to, and he got so fast, he was actually catching up to the motorcycle in the garage scene where he's chasing John Connor out. And they said it was uncanny, because if you look, there's only one time in the entire movie that he blinks. Like, he was that committed to the action. I think that's absolutely amazing. I love those little Easter eggs. But awesome. You know what else I love, Tony? The news.
Let's get into the news. Straight my first story from businessplus.ie. Microsoft restores cloud services after a global outage. Microsoft said it has fully restored its cloud services after a networking outage took its Azure cloud platform offline on Wednesday, downing workplace services such as Teams and Outlook, used by hundreds of millions worldwide. The company did not disclose the number of users affected, but data from Down Detector showed thousands of incidents on several continents, including the Americas, Europe, Asia Pacific, and the Middle East and Africa. Ray, I have questions for you. Now, I know we've never talked about outages. We've never talked about security issues. We've never talked about backup plan and redundancy.
Ever.
And you know, it'd be really cool, since it's never been done before, have a, maybe we should have a computer inside NORAD that controls the nukes, say once in a while, would you like to play a game? That's another
because I've heard of NORAD. That's where the, Santa tracker is, right?
Yes. Oh my gosh. I feel like all the things that we've talked about are happening over and over and over again. So my question to you is, what can you do for an Azure global outage? What is your suggestion? Because at the end of the day, I mean, let's just call it as it is. Redundancy is a challenge. And just like any challenge, it's like riding a horse. If it feels comfortable when you're doing it, you're doing it wrong. So, tell me what can we suggest to people to address a global outage?
That is just as far left as my cocaine reference last episode. If the horse is comfortable, you're not doing it right. Now, okay. So first of all, I will not have you impugn the reliability and confidence we have in Microsoft 359. Okay. I mean, outages are part of life. It's just one thing, something you have to deal with. And this is where I say nothing is unique, nothing is special, except for you, because your mother was right. You're wonderful. But everything else in business is exactly the same. Look at it. If you absolutely need it to function, have a backup plan for it. So in terms of Teams, if you're a fully remote company and you absolutely need to be able to collaborate, make sure you have a backup method, a Discord, a Slack, text messages. Ours is our PBX portal. If Teams goes out, we can message each other on our PBX portal. But the point is this, we're global, we're remote, we need to collaborate. It's not an option of Teams being down. So you have to have a backup plan. And MSP should be really, really good at backup plans, right? Tony, yes?
The whole MSP audience right now is saying, yeah, hey, hold on. Hold on. Yes. I just don't know what to say, because I feel again like this is something that we talk about every single episode, but through a different theme. It's all the same. I mean, what do they say? There's seven different types of movies, and that's all the movies there are. This is what we call Matt and say.
But it is. If we were talking about computer backup, an MSP wouldn't think twice. They would have a game plan, maybe workstations, definitely servers, definitely user profile. They would have a game plan. They wouldn't think twice about it. But because it's Teams or because it's communication, they may not see it in the same sense. That's why I'm saying it's not unique. If there's a system they need, if there's a business function they need to absolutely have access to 100%, then they need to have backup plans. QuickBooks Online, another good example. I'm not saying they went down, but I'm saying if your business needs to write checks every single day and log entries every single day, plan for what you're going to do when QB goes out. And if it doesn't, it doesn't. Great, but plan anyway.
And this is an opportunity for the MSP market that we serve. Everyone's going to have their core pillars, their core calcified stack of technologies and applications. And the QBRs. Every customer, they need them, and no one wants to do them. But why can't you say, let's go to a OMG plan? Azure global outage just happened on Wednesday. Don't say that it's unlikely, or don't say it's impossible. It's unlikely, right, in a lot of cases. But why can't you have an OMG plan where, hey, there's another server that we have in-house that we can synchronize the users, and this one you can use for a backup plan, a Discord, or because maybe they use Azure as well. You never know. But something, but I'm thinking from the MSP's perspective, this is a perfect opportunity to talk to your customers about those what if scenarios, because it just happened.
Yeah, it's like Matt Fox is saying in chat, it's not if, it's when, right? It's when it's going to happen. So,
I think our MSPs
might have something to say about it. Maybe if they like put something in the comments or in the Discord, I think they can go to the Discord and talk back at us. That's what we've been doing all week since the last episode. So,
a lot of talk. Yeah. You know, security outages are horrible. I guess the only thing really worse, in my opinion, are security hacks at like large scales, because in security is like but outages they'll get fixed. But Ray, you have good news for us, right?
And I'm afraid I don't have good news. I do have numbers, though. In our second top story in security, over 4,500 WordPress sites hacked to redirect visitors to sketchy ad pages, written by Ravi Lakshmanan on the Hacker News. The latest operation of malware campaign, believed to have started in 2017, has affected more than 4,500 WordPress sites. According to data from urlscan.io, the latest actively started on December 26, 2022. A wave detected in early December affected more than 3,600 sites, and the attack in September impacted more than 7,000. The infections involve the injection of obfuscated JavaScript hosted on a malicious domain designed to redirect visitors to unwanted sites. Securi, a security website, stated that the recent months have seen the malware campaign go from fake CAPTCHA, push notification scam pages, to black hat ad networks that alternate between legitimate and malicious websites. To counter these threats, WordPress site owners are advised to change their passwords, update installed themes and plugins, and remove unused ones. Tony, I'm sure over your illustrious career, you've installed at least one WordPress site at some point, right?
Just one or 200.
See, yes. I remember the days of like the WordPress sites where you had to update these things manually. And thankfully, there's auto updating now, which is great, which also breaks plugins half the time.
There's a plugin to update your plugins.
Right. I mean, you know, but like this is the Windows update conundrum, right? Do you let it auto update and possibly break your site? Or do you do it manually and possibly miss a 0 day, right? Personally, and this is my personal opinion, and I don't run our web servers, so don't ask me for MSP media. But, you know, the stuff, my little personal pet projects, I set it to auto update, and WordPress will email you when it updates. So you immediately go in and you have a little, you know, check to make sure it works like you would do after any update, right? And if it's broken, you fix it. And if it's not broken, you're good. No big deal. And that to me is much more safe than just letting this happen. I mean, where do you fall in the auto update camp? Are you set it and forget it? Or are you like stay and pray? What's your method?
Well, we're talking about two different things. If we're talking about operating systems at the desktop level, that is a very real time. That is analogous to outages or blips in telco. There's no such thing as an outage, a blip in telco. In email hosting, oh man, we had like 100 blips a day and no one noticed, just a delay in the email. And rest assured, every time I talk to the telco side, I'm like, that sucks to do what you guys do. You know that. And they're like, it's just constant stress, just constant. Like, it's like every moment you're looking. But on our side, like, we'll just fail over to another front end server. And people go, it's an extra 30-second delay. You know, it must be an email traffic issue. Sure. No problem. What I'm trying to get to is that when we're talking about websites, there is real time. So for desktop operating systems, going down. And then there's websites, which you can have. My personal opinion, best practice, or something I practiced for decades, I would have primary website and I would have v1.primarywebsite.com, v2.primarywebsite.com, etc. And then I would run my deployment updates on v1 and see what happened. And I would constantly keep a working version of that on v2. And I could do experimentation across the board without ever affecting anything in production environment. That is just my opinion. And Matt's saying load balancer. I understand. This is before you had your fancy F5 load balancers. There was no such, you know what also the load balancer was?
Which also had an interesting is for the record.
The look of disappointment. Is that
it's more of a load balancer in conjunction with a deployment script or procedure that's going to give you multiple versions that you can turn back the time on like a time machine should something go wrong. If all hell
you're
breaks
way through, too technical. You know what the load balancer was?
Load balancer that goes to that lovely under construction page so you can figure out what the hell's going on with the actual
It's pulling out the NIC.
In the middle of an update.
Pulling out the Cat 5 cable and plugging into the other NIC. That's
you
that's
get the other Haze right? modem. You, click. You unplug the US robotics.
And if you want to know, and if you want to know why Matt Fox is so has time machines on the brain and going back in time, go talk to him on Discord. I'm just going to tease it like that.
Matt knows his stuff. MSP people, he's one of you. He's one of your tribe members here behind the scenes, basically poking us and prodding us. We probably should hear from everyone else though. That's
absolutely. And something good to point out. Matt brought this up in the chat. This specific issue was a file folder permission issue. It was not an update issue. It doesn't change a damn thing that we said. And as far as permissions, let somebody else do it. Oh no, let somebody else run your damn website. I don't know. I'm just talking to my ass. MSPs, tell us what's going on, please. Actually, you know what? Let an expert do it, or let somebody else do it, but make sure you train them first, right, Tony?
definitely train your staff. Straight from Bloomberg.com, the New York Stock Exchange mayhem was traced to a staffer who left a backup system running. On Tuesday, the New York Stock Exchange employee failed to shut down properly Cermak's disaster recovery system, leading to a disaster. The chaos affected more than 250 companies, including Wells Fargo, McDonald's, Walmart, and Morgan Stanley, in some cases sending stock prices swinging by 25% in a matter of minutes. Professionals and day traders are rattled and waiting for the exchange to elaborate on what it publicly called, quote, a manual error involving its, quote, disaster recovery configuration. Ray, back everything up. We have to kind of put a little footnote in there. Make sure you train everyone when you run these backups. Do I have to say that?
You know what gets me about this story? It's that their actual process is, after everybody's done, they go through and they shut down systems manually and then bring systems up manually. Now, if anybody's ever run a data center, you know you absolutely have a startup sequence. You cannot just light up everything at the same time. You have a stand down sequence too. That's why power losses are so dangerous. And turning everything on at the same time, you get these power surges that can take everything down, and you do things staggered. That is standard process. But the data centers, you shut things down very, 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 very rarely. Like, these are meant to be toasters. These are meant to operate.
You don't shut a data center down. Like, you have to assume that whatever is in the data center, when you shut it down, it's not going to start back up. You just have to assume that.
Well, and that's from my old network engineering days. I mean, there's a number of switches and routers out there that, you know, and I'm talking big iron. I'm talking big boys that, like, you know, have years of uptime and you are terrified to turn it off.
Absolutely. So just to add some clarity to the story, what happens is there's a backup system in Chicago, and the way this works, and I'm narrating very, very high level here, is that every evening the backup system is shut, or let me rephrase that, while the primary trading mechanism is shut down. This system shuts down to the backup system, but the backup system stayed up. And what that means is, in the event that the New York Stock Exchange, the primary system, failed, the trade queries would go to this failover system. Well, since it had nowhere to go, okay, it treated them as a trade with no real volume associated to it. Now, on Tuesday morning, when the system came back online, there was this normal surge that came in from the evening. But that didn't happen because these occurred in real time. There was no surge. Consequently, there was no activity. Consequently, everyone who made a trade was now a substantial trade that's not drowned out in this huge flood of morning activity that came in over the evening. So what happens is the backup system wasn't the concept of a data backup system. It's just a backup failover system. It was never shut down properly. The point of the entire story is that there has to be some level of autonomy. There has to be a system of checks and rechecks and rechecking the recheckers as much as possible. And that was not done. This was a very manual process. And the consequences were substantial. They're still going through the economic consequences. I read online that they set aside, I want you to process this, $500,000 US a day to handle these types of issues. This wasn't one of the types of issues. If I just process that. And this was not in the bucket of, oh, we saved for this. So I'm wondering what the repercussions are financially. But please, please, please train your staff. It was something as simple as flipping a switch, or maybe they tripped over a cord or whatever that is.
That is nuts. That is absolutely nuts to me. And the financial impact of this, right? Because, like, they're going back and undoing the trades. They can't even calculate how much, like, they're spending to undo all of this mayhem. The potential catastrophe for not having good systems and good redundancies in place is mind-boggling. And even with that, when they do have it, dolphin bleep still goes south. I
mean, you know, okay. I feel like this is just another variation of the stories that we're talking about, but please train your staff and most importantly, keep your eyes on the ball. That being said, Ray, let's get into the notable mention.
In my first notable mention, NVIDIA's Eye Contact AI is its creepiest update yet, written by Anna Diaz for Polygon.com. NVIDIA has just rolled out an update to its broadcast software for live streaming and video conferencing. The update brings several new features, but the most unnerving for most of the app's users is eye contact. Eye contact is an effect that makes it look like you're maintaining eye contact with the camera. The feature uses AI to replace your eyes with simulated eyes that align with your webcam. Although many users describe eye contact as unsettling, unnerving, or even creepy, NVIDIA said in a blog post that eye contact is intended for content creators who want to maintain eye contact with the camera at all times, even when they're looking at their notes. In my second notable mention, LastPass response to recent security incident, taken from GoTo.com. In late November, LastPass disclosed its systems were compromised for the second time in 2022. We covered this in a previous story on MSP Dispatch, linked somewhere here. GoTo, the owner of LastPass, published an update on its blog in response to the security incident. As per the post, the company's investigation that a threat actor exfiltrated encrypted backups from a third-party cloud storage related to Central, Pro, Join.me, Hamachi, and Remotely Anywhere. Affected information may include account usernames, salted and hashed passwords, and a portion of MFA settings, product settings, and licensing information. LastPass has started contacting affected customers and recommending steps to secure their accounts. It will also reset passwords and reauthorize MFA settings. The company also assured its customers that GoTo does not store full credit card or bank details and does not collect or use personal information such as date of birth, home address, or social security numbers.
And in my first notable mention from Reuters.com, IBM cuts 3,900 jobs and misses the annual cash target. IBM Corp. on Wednesday announced 3,900 layoffs, approximately 1.5% of its workforce, as part of its asset divestment and missed its annual cash target, dampening the cheer around beating revenue expectations in the fourth quarter. The company also forecasted annual revenue growth in the mid-single digits on constant currency terms, weaker than the 12% it reported last year, as pandemic-led demand for digitizing businesses has given way to cautious spending by clients amid rising recession fears. And in my next notable mention from bleepingcomputer.com, a new stealthy Python rat malware targets Windows in attacks. A new Python-based malware has been spotted in the wild, featuring remote access Trojan, rat, capabilities to give its operators control over the breach systems. The malware delivered to the target is a Python rat packed into an executable using automated packers like PyInstaller and Py2.exe, which can convert Python code into a Windows executable that includes all the libraries required for its execution. This approach results in an inflated payload size, with version 1.0, the initial, being 14 megs, and version 1.6.0, the latest, 32 megs. The more recent version is bigger because it features additional code, more than 1,000 lines, and a layer of Fernet encryption. This helps the malware evade detection, and according to Securonix tests, version 1.6.0 of the payload deployed undetected by all but one antivirus engine on VirusTotal.
In our new segment, Resources of the Week, we want to highlight some things that you may want to know in your MSP day. The first one is courtesy of the Reddit sub sysadmin, and there's a thread called Microsoft Ticking Time Bombs, January 2023 edition. It lists several deadlines for several major changes Microsoft is enacting over the coming months, including the way AD permissions are stored, the way Authenticator works with your clients. We will link it in the show notes. I'm not going to go over every single one, but I want to make sure you're aware of it. And our second resource of the week, this was presented by Mike Riggs of Fifth Wall and RiskGauge. This is a release from CISA with their 2023 planning agenda. It was posted 2 days ago. A project for this community, meaning the MSP community, is included. The statement is remote monitoring management vendors, managed service providers, managed security service providers, advanced cybersecurity, and reduced supply chain risk for small and medium critical infrastructure entities through collaboration with remote monitoring and management, RMM, managed service providers, and managed security service providers. Those are a lot of words that you should read into because they will affect your daily life. The link again is in the show notes. In our feedback from the YouTubes, Alan Miller says, it's me. I'm the problem. It's me. Herc. I don't know if that's you know what? The less I say here, the better, honestly.
There are plenty of amazing upcoming events taking place across the community. So let's see what's happening this week and next. Today at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, January Channel Pitch presented by The Channel Program. On February 1st and 2nd, an in-person event, Channel Pro SMB Forum, Dallas, Texas. And finally, on February 1st, 2nd, and the 3rd, an in-person event, Zero Trust World, Champions Gate, Florida. And coming from the MSP Media Network this week, we have the MSP Dispatch every Tuesday and Friday at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. On February 2nd at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, the Tech Bar opens its doors again for episode 51 featuring Tom Lawrence of Lawrence Systems. And on February 3rd at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Kyle Jackson of ConnectWise joins Aaron Bolton for episode 9 of 38 at 38.
Hey everyone, it's Martin here, admin, CEO, and co-founder of the MSP Geek community, and I want to see you at our conference, MSP GeekCon 2023. It is the premier conference that focuses on the career path of a technician, where you get to own both your personal and your technical skill set, and how to set yourself and your teams up for success. Join us in Orlando on May 21st to the 23rd. Come grow with us, and we'll see you there.
So how'd you like today's episode? If you like it, hit that thumbs up button. If you didn't, go ahead and hit it twice. And if you want to hear more, go ahead and hit that subscribe button on the YouTubes or your favorite podcatcher. Did you know we also have a Discord where we post stories all week? You can propose your own stories and even vote on which ones we'll cover. As my friend Rich Mankey says, make sure to tell a friend. Also be sure to follow us on social media at MSP Media TV. Have any questions? Email news@mspmedia.tv for answers on the next episode, or leave us a voicemail, 833-MSP Network. Tony, I have a feeling you're going to go check all your backup policies and your WordPress sites.
Oh gosh, and go watch the Terminator 2 again, just so I know what to expect. It's just a prequel, clearly.
Obviously, yeah. No, between that and Boston Dynamics, we are so screwed.
Oh my gosh, the whole Boston Dynamics. Here's your tools. Let me jump up, do a backflip. Let me check the watch. Let me do his little. He's doing his little dab. Oh come on,
dude. This is like getting that dog to go up the stairs or open a door. Like they're training it to do these things. And all I'm thinking is, if I had a Velociraptor, the last thing I would do is teach it to open a door. Like, did we not learn from Jurassic Park? So
this is gonna happen next.
So I want to hear from the MSP audience. Let us know if, this is Skynet or this is Johnny Five. Let us know, or tell us on the Discord, even better. But until next episode, everybody, take care of yourselves and each other.
Be safe.
This has been a broadcast of the MSP Media Network.
Hello? Anybody out there? Hello? Anybody out there? I got this on purpose just for this, so Phil doesn't have to do all the dolphins. Every time I curse about one of these security issues. Unfortunately, I don't have good news. I have numbers, though. In my second top story in the security section, over 4,500 WordPress sites hacked to redirect... other news, I can't speak properly. Okay. Security, a security website, stated that the recent months have been the malware campaign. Too many securities. All right.
A new stealthy, The malware delivered to the target is a Python rat packed executable using, let me go back to the beginning of that. Do you see when I move my mouse, how it pops over the notes?
Yeah, yeah, I see it. Yeah. You're an anonymous coyote. That's what you are.
Anonymous coyote, yes.
Are you doing this one from the top or?
No, I'll just start off with a new Python based malware.
Phil's the studious gerbil.
I think he just said the studious gerbil. I don't know what that means.
Yeah, let's just get to the news.
Okay. This helps the malware evade detection. And according to Securonix tests, version 1.60.0 of the payload deployed undetected by all. One more time. This helps malware. Two more times.
Thank you for getting that Johnny Five reference in. That was perfect.
So how'd you like today's show? Just really quick. Just that first part.
Something happened. The background was black during that when you first started the outro. So, I mean, I could fix it in post, but it'd be so easier to.
Was it black on black on black?
Was just it black on black this time?
All right, exactly. I'm gonna get this.
I should not do this for recording. Actually, now that I think about it. All right.